This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
This Scotland Outdoors podcast from BBC Radio Scotland.
Hi, so morning rounds. We're in a pretty set routine just now before the lambs start dropping. Right now we're about to feed the rams. So just watch not get knocked down as we go through here.
Well,
They're lively and they're rather robust.
They've had a busy spell and they've done a lot of work this year.
And they certainly have. Those rams belonging to sheep farmer, sheep shearer, YouTuber and television presenter Cammy Wilson have been responsible for topping around 1,000 ewes who are soon to lamb. Cammy farms in Ayrshire and is absolutely passionate about what he does. So much so he's established a huge following on his YouTube channel called The Sheep Game, where he shares with really admirable honesty the ups and downs of farming. Cammy's also one of the presenters on our sister programme on BBC Scotland, Landward. Now, I'm Mark Stephen, and in this edition of Scotland Outdoors, I visited Cammy on his farm just to try and understand what it is he finds so appealing about being a sheep farmer and why he loves Ayrshire so much.
Oh, I would say it's a land of milk and honey. It's how I would describe it. Most of my bits, I mean, Ayrshire, one thing we do great in Ayrshire is grow grass. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ayrshire has more dairy farms than any other county in Scotland, and that is the reason, you know. We're great at growing grass, so great sheep country. And even though it's been a terrible, terrible wet winter, it's been incredibly mild, and the grass has just kept creeping all the time. So places always kind of looked a wee bit green, and that's been really good for the sheep.
What astonishes me coming to this kind of area is just how green it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a spring green and it's not actually spring yet.
No, and, you know, it's been like that since turn of the year. You know, once we get past those really bad storms, and yeah, it still kept raining, but thankfully we've not had as extreme a weather. It's just looked green all the time. The amount of days we've been in double figures this year is quite incredible. And, of course, you've got to look towards the global warming thing for that. You know, the milder it is, the more rain you get. But certainly for the sheep job, it's not been the worst thing this year. I'd rather have that than 2 foot of snow.
If you are surrounded by dairy farms, why are you in sheep?
Because I'm just a poor man. No, it's a good question. The farm we're actually on right now, I was born and brought up in this farm. And before that, you know, maybe 40 years ago, it was a dairy farm. But like many, they changed system and moved to other things, and now it's primarily sheep and beef. Mm-hmm. I suppose it's that kind of thing sometimes in farming. It's what you're into. Yeah.
Why are you so obsessed by sheep? What is it about them that actually catches your attention to the extent it so clearly does?
I suppose one amazing thing about sheep that I really enjoy, apart from the fact I've been born and bred into it, and it's almost just bred into me, that almost brainwashed into sheep, is the fact that what we're doing with sheep and the way we're farming sheep has hardly changed in the last 500 years. They still run out in the grass all winter. You know, we're outside here in the fresh air working with them. Some days are nicer than others, granted. But it's such a beautiful, natural process of growing, you know, a fantastic product in Scotch lamb off the grass. None of my lambs get any sort of feed at all. They're just off the grass into the food chain.
Effectively, it's solar-powered protein production. The sun shines, the rain falls, the grass grows, the sheep eat the grass and whatever, it converts it into meat.
Yeah, exactly. You know, apart from maybe fancier lick buckets and a nice mix that we can give to the rams to keep them going, things have hardly really changed.
Yeah. What's that one there, sort of fourth from the left-hand side, top of its head?
So that's a Texel ram we're looking at there, and some of them get a little single horn, almost like a unicorn.
Really?
Yes, there's another one just here.
They get I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's just like a single lump, it's probably for fighting. Right. And it actually can cause quite a lot of problems. See if they grow like a knuckle like that. Mm. And then they're okay just now, but when they're coming into that mating season, they start with a bit of fight. That acts like a spear.
Yeah.
And it can actually kill other tups. So you have to be careful they don't get too big a knuckle in there. But yeah, that's
Other than narwhals and unicorns, obviously, I didn't know that anything grew a single horn.
There we go. Texel rams.
You weren't always a sheep farmer, though?
No. So although I was born and brought up on this farm, I actually was a police officer for 12 years. So my father was a shepherd, so we just rent this ground here now. But there was no direct route for me into farming, you know, no succession to take on a farm. So I had to look elsewhere, and it just so happened that it was around the time the SNP had come in and said, well, 1,000 new cops in the street. and the adverts were everywhere, and I'd never planned to be a cop, but within about 3 months of seeing that advert, I was up at Tully Allen getting ready to go. And did 12 years in the police in Glasgow.
The fact that you did 12 years would tend to suggest you quite enjoyed it.
It was great. You know, it was, even when I first started, loved it. But I was speaking about this recently, actually. Public sector things, the way things are now, it's a totally different game. But when I joined the community policing team in Glasgow City Centre, there was 33 cops on my shift, and you had time to do things and tackle crime off your own back almost. Whereas when I left the police, albeit I wasn't still in the same shift, but that same shift was down to about 9 cops.
Wow.
Yeah, and that shows you the change in 12 years in the police force. People give cops a hard time, you know. Sometimes in the rural sector, you know, we've got a lot of things like quad bike thefts and stuff like that, and they give cops a hard time for not taking it seriously enough or not looking into it enough, but the reality is the time's not there, you know. They'll have a list of priorities, your things like your serious assaults, crimes of violence. They take priority over these things, and they can only do so much with the time they have. And I know a lot of guys that are still in it, and it's call, 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 rush, rush, rush. As soon as you're at a call, the handler wants you to go to the next one. Yeah. And you just don't have time to give folk the service that they would like. So the cops are feeling the brunt of it.
So how did you catapult yourself from walking the mean streets of Glasgow into having 1,000 sheep?
That...
Just sheer misfortune.
Yes, it's just an unusual story. I fell back into sheep a little bit. I was still working with my father while still in the police, so I was keeping my hand in, so to speak. And I started learning to shear. And then all of a sudden, when I was 25, my father died suddenly of cancer. Okay. One of these kind of 2 months' notice. Yeah. You're dead. And I thought, oh, how am I going to work with sheep now? And it was definitely a sort of grief thing. I went to the market and bought myself four Texel sheep, actually. That was my first mistake. But put them in my mum's garden, and it's sort of grown from there. It just became this, I could put my focus into this to deal with the grief of it, and it's went from those four sheep 8 years ago to, yeah, it'll be the guts of 12 or 1300 running.
I was on YouTube last night looking at your channel, the sheep game and what have you. How popular is that channel? Because the figures are staggering.
It's who'd have thought that sheep could be so popular, well, eh?
Who would know?
I'm very fortunate that certainly the farming community in the UK has really got behind it. You know, I make my videos thinking about the farmer and, you know, being positive about farming and but in the same vein, showing all the problems, showing all the things that go wrong. And I think at lambing time, I get so many messages from people who, because it's such a mental strain on farmers, lambing time, because it's lack of sleep, lots of problems and disasters, things going wrong. And because you don't see other people, you get in this little bubble of thinking you're the only one that's suffering, you're the only one that's having problems. So I get messages all the time from people saying thanks for showing all those problems, because I come in at night, this is how sick farmers are. They lamb sheep all day, they come in at night and watch some other, get some boy from Ayrshire lambing sheep, and it makes them feel better. And yeah,
misery loves company.
That's exactly it. I'm going to pinch that one. The thing with my lambing and on YouTube is the reality is the success stories aren't good content. No. Because the ewe has two lambs and runs away. Mm-hmm. The content is in the sheep you need to catch and help lamb, and you have the jeopardy and, yeah, you know, is this lamb going to be okay? Is it not? Can we bring it round? Can we make it survive? And in a lot of cases you can't. And that's part of the thing with sheep, you know, they have a lot of lambs because the survival rate, you know, we'll be looking at probably 15% losses as standard. Yeah.
But you couldn't get too emotionally attached to them.
No, and again, because I've been doing it my whole life, you know what it's like. You know, I've been looking at these problems since I was a wee boy, but it is part of the natural cycle, as I say, because they have so many, probably similar to the pig thing. You know, pigs have an unbelievable size litters, but there is a huge death rate as well, and I suppose it's nature's way of combating it, is that they have sheep having 2 and 3 lambs, so at least there's a more chance of her walking away with a lamb at the end of it.
Where is them? They're now gathering around about your feet just to see if you get any more in that bucket.
Yes,
where is the money in sheep at the moment?
Well, I cannot stand here and pretend that sheep aren't good at the moment. Sheep are incredible at the moment.
I know, and I'm going to have to sit down.
Yes, I know.
I'm saying that times are good.
I know, and that's a shocker because you don't hear it often, but we are in this really strange time where various issues in the continent are helping us. You might have heard of blue tongue, mm-hmm, being one of them. There's big losses in sheep flocks in Europe through blue tongue. Schmallenberg is the other one. And both of these are now creeping into the south of England, being brought over by the midges because of the mild winter. I spoke earlier about how the mild winter has been okay for us here. But if we're mild here, it's a damn sight milder.
Very, very mild.
In the south, and what you're finding is there's still midges about, and they've been causing all sorts of problems down there. So, again, we're looking at 20% losses in infected flocks, even in England. So we could see this carry on for the next year, and it's just a shortage of lambs. I mean, 31% of our lambs are exported to France. Mm-hmm. And we are fortunate, again, in the UK here, that we are in real close proximity to a large Muslim community, and they are a massive customer to the sheep farmer. You know, they love their lamb, which is great.
How difficult is it nowadays, post-Brexit, to actually export to France?
That is where somebody needs a pat in the back, because what a panic we all got in when Brexit happened about, are we going to get these lambs? Because especially for sheep, beef, domestically we do eat a lot more beef in the UK than we do eat sheep. But for the sheep farmer, like, how are we going to get these lambs out? But tip of the cap to whoever's sorting out the trade deals and making it happen, because they never really shut down at any point. We seem to always be able to get the lamb out. And I guess part of that is because Europe don't put up too much of a fight on that regard, because they need the lamb.
The meat is the value in the animal, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. Wool is a big, big talking point with sheep. And it's amazing how many people watch the sheep game and just assume that we make our money from the wool. Uh-huh. When actually, wool's just a huge cost to the farmer now. I hate to say the word, but it's almost becoming a nuisance for a lot of farmers. Uh-huh. With fly strike.
It's like a waste product. And
yeah, it's like a byproduct of sheep farming now.
Explain fly strike.
So fly strike is when the green bottle fly will lie on the sheep's wool and it'll lay eggs. Usually it'll find a wee dirty patch, a bit of dung, and it'll lay eggs that will then hatch out as maggots. And what a lot of folk don't realise is these maggots will eat into healthy flesh. You know, a lot of people think they've seen the wartime stories of
necrotic tissue and things.
Yes, and maggots will eat that, then they come out, they'll land on a sheep and they'll eat into rotten flesh and they'll kill a sheep. Yeah.
I have seen that at clipping time, etc. It's not attractive.
No, and that's one thing that, you know, I've been farming my whole life, and it's one thing you never really get used to or get over. Like, every time you see a sheep that's been bad with that, it hits you hard, because it is your fault. You know, you've missed it, and it's easy missed. You know, it'll happen to me at least once every year. You'll miss one because they hide it well. And, you know, when they're running in big flocks, it can be hard to spot. And by the time you look under that wool and they've been eating away at that flesh, you know, it hits you hard and you feel absolutely terrible. And it's a sickening sight as well.
No, it's not great. On the subject of shearing, am I right? I think you shear competitively.
Yes, I do a little bit
having
of that
no
as well.
Having no sense at all.
Yes,
right? Okay.
Yes, I do that bit of that as well. I absolutely love sheep shearing, as much as I'm saying, you know. And wool's a fantastic product. It is. I couldn't sing its praises enough. It's just unfortunate we are where we are with it. But the shearing side of things, that kind of started as a way of making some extra revenue to help bolster the flock and make things work. And it's now turned into this obsession of testosterone-filled macho...
Sweaty guys in T-shirts, that kind of thing.
Yes, sweaty guys in singlets, seeing who can shear sheep the best. It's and, of course, the Highland Show will be a popular one for a lot of your listeners. And you know, you can't be that buzzer getting up on that stage.
Is it who can shear it the best or the fastest? Or are there those two separate classes?
No, it's combined. Okay. So although speed is a factor, it's much more important to make a good job. And, you know, make a nice clean job. And, like, for example, if you were to nick a sheep, which can happen at times, but if you nick a sheep in a competition, you'll be absolutely hammered. You know, so you can rush all you want, but if you don't make a good job, you won't win.
Yeah. The Sheep Game, your YouTube channel, is hugely successful. You moved from that to go into work with BBC Scotland's countryside programme, Landward. What was the difference there for you?
Yeah, I suppose the difference is you can't just say what you like.
Sadly.
No, yes, sadly. That's one thing, but that all came about. I pinged him an email when Ewan actually was retiring. This is a true story. When Ewan McElreath was retiring, I pinged him an email and says, you know,
here's a job.
Are you looking for MD? Yeah. And I was very lucky they got back to me, and I suppose the rest is history, but they're great to work with. You know, I'll be honest, I had a misconception of maybe TV and these things would be, oh, it has to be done this way and has to be done that way. But if they send me, you know, if they say, here's a couple of lines, but they'll let me put it in my own words. If I say, you know, a farmer wouldn't say that, they're like, no bother, you say it how you want to say it. And it's so flexible, and I genuinely love working with them.
Yeah. And obviously, you're not just working on sheep. It's all sorts of aspects of things. So do you find it a learning process?
Absolutely, yeah. The things I've learned, I mean, even 2 days ago there, we were at a pig facility learning about how they're trying to socialise the pigs through playing them sounds of playful pigs and seeing what ones react the best. Who'd have thought that was even a thing? Like, honestly, I've learned a lot through Landward, definitely.
The first time I was aware of you was the incident of that sheep up in, you know, in Cromarty, I think it was. Just talk us through that again. What actually happened?
Yeah, that went a bit crazy. So yes, Fiona, the world's loneliest sheep. That all started as, I saw it when it first came in, it was just a local newspaper article, and I messaged the farmer and says, you know, will we come and get this sheep? And he says, no, it's far too dangerous. And then other things happened where other people got involved, and he's like, listen, this has turned into a circus, let's try and get this sheep out of here. And yeah, we got it out, we just thought it was, you know, go down and it'll be a laugh, get the sheep out, you know, we'll manage fine, hopefully. And thankfully we did. Put a little post up on Facebook, and then the world went crazy.
Just explain where it was, this loneliest sheep in the world.
Yeah, so we still don't know how she got there. The common sense thing is that she probably jumped down looking for a fresh bit of grass, then couldn't get back up. Right. 2 years prior to this event happening.
So she'd been down in this patch of grass for 2 years and it wasn't fresh anymore.
The ironic thing about it, she had so much grass. It was an oasis she was in.
Why'd you take her out then?
That is the big question. Mainly the media. That was the why, you know, the SSPCA got a really hard time over it all. Uh-huh. But they were 100% right. They went and looked at her from the sea, had a look, saw how much grass she had. She had a cave for shelter. The wool, albeit it was getting overgrown by the time we got her, but when they had been assessing it, the wool was absolutely fine. There's no point risking human life or injury to go and rescue a sheep that's in an oasis. Yeah. And that's why it was left. But they were given a lot of abuse and you know, why haven't you done anything for this poor animal? But she was, she came out of there 92 kilos. Some of these rams aren't even 92 kilos.
How did you actually get her up?
Yeah, that was a big feed sack. Uh-huh. And a couple of ropes tied together that we picked up from a shop on the way up the road. Yes, a well-known climbing shop on the road up. Tied the two together, put it to a 4x4 buggy at the top, and just reversed back very slowly and just guided her up. There was one section maybe of 4 metres that was a kind of vertical climb, but the rest of it I would describe it as crawlable, but like if you slipped you weren't stopping. And in hindsight, you know, the difference between us being labelled as heroes after that and idiots was just the slip of your foot. Do you know what I mean? If somebody had slipped, you'd be saying, why are they fools doing that? They should have waited for the professionals. So we were very lucky.
Strictly speaking, you are the professionals. I mean, no one is expert in retrieving sheep from cliffs.
Well, exactly. We had a good lad, Ali Williamson, there from the Western Isles. I phoned him in specially because the reality is those boys over there in the Western Isles are doing that every day.
All the time.
And never makes the news. So he was going up and doing like a mountain goat. I was holding on for dear life. Thank God we had him.
Yeah. When you got this 92-kilogram Fiona, loneliest sheep in the world, back up the cliff and what have you, did you shear it?
Yes, we did it old school with the hand shears.
Wow.
Because at that point it was November, a bit cold to leave her totally bare, so I got the old hand shears out. Now, I'm not exactly proficient in the hand shears, although, unbelievably, I've been asked to shear for Scotland at the Highland Show for the hand shears, which is terrifying. I'll need to get some practice in. But, yeah, that let us leave her maybe with about an inch of cover so that she would be similar to the other sheep that she was going to join down at, she went to Dosgoan Farm at Dumfries. The whole thing, you know, I am very much a traditional farmer, worked with sheep my entire life, but that sheep Fiona was something else. Our whole mannerism, as we were dragging her up in that bag, we've cut a hole for her nose to come through. Uh-huh. She was nibbling at the grass.
You're joking. She never stopped eating.
No stress or nothing. You know, you think, not been handled for 2 years, absolute blind panic, as sheep naturally do, they're prey animals, they naturally run and get scared. She's nibbling away at the grass through the bag like it's just a wee jolly. And once we showed her, she sat there the whole time being shown. She stood up. She stood next to her fleece and had a little look. She had a good scratch. It must have felt nice. Yeah. But yeah, her whole manner was, you'd almost thought the thing was set up. Like she was a pet lamb and it was staged. Yeah. It was incredible.
Very, very strange. What's next for you? You're a young man, you know, with a lot of experience behind you, but you know, what's your ambition?
The ambition for us is to get our own farm in the long run. And it's just, it's one of those things. It's expensive, you know. Buying a farm, especially nowadays, interest rates another factor, it's expensive. So we just need to keep working away with the sheep, wait for the landlord wages to go up, and
and we'll get hold we'll your get breath.
There. No. But we'll get there eventually, hopefully.
Yeah. And would you want to farm in this area, ideally?
Ideally. I mean, who wouldn't want to farm in Ayrshire? You know, just look about us here, it's... As you touched on earlier, it's so green compared to, you know, you guys up towards the east. Like, we're wet, but we're green, and it's a nice place to farm.
Cammy Wilson there. And Cammy will be back on screen in Landward from Thursday the 4th of April. Have a look for that on BBC iPlayer. And you can find him, as I said earlier, on YouTube. Just look for The Sheep Game. Please get in touch with us and tell us where you listen to this podcast. You can email outofdoors@bbc.co.uk. We're like actually reading through it every week and finding out where everybody is. Until the next time, I'm Mark Stephen. Thanks for listening.